Good day to you all, and welcome to this eighth day of April. It is day 98 in our journey through the Bible. Hello to everyone out there. My name's Hunter. I am your brother, your Bible reading coach, someone who shows up with you every day to spend some time together in the pages of the Bible. And we're going to let the Bible do what the Bible does and direct our hearts to the one who is the Word of Life. And so we come to Him from all around the world. We gather here to warm our hearts by the fires of God's presence and His love. For God is love. And today, we're going to look into the book of 1 Samuel, chapters 3 through 5. Then we'll go to Psalm 77, and we'll finish in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. This is the word of the Lord. 1 Samuel 3. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now, in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare, and visions were quite uncommon. One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. Suddenly, the Lord called out,
Samuel!
Yes, Samuel replied. What is it? He got up and ran to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me?
I didn't call you, Eli replied. Go back to bed.
So he did. Then the Lord called out again.
Samuel.
Again Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me?
I didn't call you, my son, Eli said. Go back to bed.
Samuel did not yet know the Lord, because he had never had a message from the Lord before. So the Lord called a third time. And once more Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am, did you call me? Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel,
Go and lie down again, and if someone calls again, say, Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.
So Samuel went back to bed. And the Lord came and called as before,
Samuel! Samuel!
And Samuel replied, Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Then the Lord said to Samuel,
I am about to do a shocking thing in Israel. I am about to carry out all my threats against Eli and his family from beginning to end. I have warned him that judgment is coming upon his family forever, because his sons are blaspheming God, and he hasn't disciplined them. So I have vowed that the sins of Eli and his sons will never be forgiven by sacrifices or offerings.
Samuel stayed in bed until morning and got up and opened the doors of the tabernacle as usual. He was afraid to tell Eli what the Lord had said to him, but Eli called out to him,
Samuel, my son?
Here I am, Samuel replied.
What did the Lord say to you? Tell me everything, and may God strike you and even kill you if you hide anything from me.
So Samuel told Eli everything. He didn't hold anything back.
It is the Lord's will, Eli replied. Let him do what he thinks best.
As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him, and everything Samuel said proved to be reliable. And all Israel, from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south, knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh and gave messages to Samuel there at the tabernacle. 1 Samuel 4. And Samuel's words went out to all the people of Israel. At that time, Israel was at war with the Philistines. The Israelite army was camped near Ebenezer, and the Philistines were at Aphek. The Philistines attacked and defeated the army of Israel, killing 4,000 men. After the battle was over, the troops retreated to their camp, and the elders of Israel asked,
Why did the Lord allow us to be defeated by the Philistines?
Then they said, Let's bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from Shiloh. If we carry it into battle with us, it'll save us from our enemies. So they sent men to Shiloh to bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of Heaven's armies, who is enthroned between the cherubim. Hophni and Phinehas, the sons of Eli, were also there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. When all the Israelites saw the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord coming into the camp, the shout of joy was so loud it made the ground shake. What's going on? The Philistines asked. What's all the shouting about in the Hebrew camp? When they were told it was because the Ark of the Lord had arrived,
They panicked. "The gods have come into their camp," they cried. "This is a disaster. We've never had to face anything like this before. Help! Who can save us from these mighty gods of Israel? They are the same gods who destroyed the Egyptians with plagues when Israel was in the wilderness. Fight as never before, Philistines. If you don't, we will become the Hebrew slaves, just as they have been ours. Stand up like men and fight." So the Philistines fought desperately, and Israel was defeated again. The slaughter was great. 30,000 Israelite soldiers died that day. The survivors turned and fled to their tents. The Ark of God was captured, and Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were killed. A man from the tribe of Benjamin ran from the battlefield and arrived at Shiloh later that same day. He had torn his clothes and put dust on his head to show his grief. Eli was waiting beside the road to hear the news of the battle, for his heart trembled for the safety of the Ark of God. When the messenger arrived and told what had happened, an outcry resounded throughout the town. "What is all this noise about?" Eli asked. The messenger rushed over to Eli, who was about 98 years old and blind. He said to Eli, "I've just come from the battlefield." "I was there this very day." "What happened, my son?" Eli demanded. "Israel has been defeated by the Philistines," the messenger replied. "The people have been slaughtered, and your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were also killed, and the Ark of God has been captured." When the messenger mentioned what had happened to the Ark of God, Eli fell backward from his seat beside the gate. He broke his neck and died, for he was old and overweight. He had been Israel's judge for 40 years. Eli's daughter-in-law, the wife of Phinehas, was pregnant and near her time of delivery. When she heard that the Ark of God had been captured and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she went into labor and gave birth. She died in childbirth, but before she passed away, the midwife tried to encourage her. "Don't be afraid," she said. "You have a baby boy." But she did not answer or pay attention to them. She named the child Ichabod, which means, "Where is the glory?" For she said, "Israel's glory is gone." She named him this because the Ark of God had been captured and because her father-in-law and husband were dead. Then she said, "The glory has departed from Israel, for the Ark of God has been captured." 1 Samuel 5. After the Philistines captured the Ark of God, they took it from the battlefield at Ebenezer to the town of Ashdod. They carried the Ark of God into the temple of Dagon and placed it beside the idol of Dagon. But when the citizens of Ashdod went to see it the next morning, Dagon had fallen with his face to the ground in front of the Ark of the Lord. So they took Dagon and put him in his place again. But the next morning, the same thing happened. Dagon had fallen face down before the Ark of the Lord again. This time, his head and hands were broken off and were lying in the doorway. Only the trunk of his body was left intact. That is why to this day neither the priest of Dagon nor anyone who enters the temple of Dagon in Ashdod will step on its threshold. Then the Lord's heavy hand struck the people of Ashdod and the nearby villages with a plague of tumors. When the people realized what was happening, they cried out, "We can't keep the Ark of God of Israel here any longer. He is against us. We will all be destroyed along with Dagon our God." So they called together the rulers of the Philistine towns and asked, "What should we do with the Ark of the God of Israel?" The rulers discussed it and replied, "Move it to the town of Gath." So they moved the Ark of the God of Israel to Gath. But when the Ark arrived at Gath, the Lord's heavy hand fell on its men, young and old. He struck them with a plague of tumors, and there was great panic. So they sent the Ark of God to the town of Ekron. But when the people of Ekron saw it coming, they cried out, "They're bringing the Ark of the God of Israel here to kill us too!" The people summoned the Philistine rulers again and begged them, "Please send the Ark of the God of Israel back to its own country, or it'll kill us all." For the deadly plague from God had already begun, and great fear was sweeping across the town. Those who didn't die were affected with tumors, and the cry from the town rose to heaven. Psalm 77. For Jeduthun, the choir director, a psalm of Asaph. I cry out to God. Yes, I shout, "Oh, that God would listen to me!" When I was in deep trouble, I searched for the Lord. All night long I prayed with hands lifted toward heaven, but my soul was not comforted. I think of God and I moan, overwhelmed with longing for his help. You don't let me sleep. I'm too distressed even to pray. I think of the good old days, long since ended, when my nights were filled with joyful songs. I search my soul and ponder the difference now. Has the Lord rejected me forever? Will he never again be kind to me? Is his unfailing love gone forever? Have his promises permanently failed? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he slammed the door on his compassion? And I said, this is my fate. The Most High has turned his hand against me. But then I recall all you have done, Lord. I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works. Oh God, your ways are holy. Is there any God as mighty as you? You are the God of great wonders. You demonstrate your awesome power among the nations. By your strong arm you redeem your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. When the Red Sea saw you, O God, its waters looked and trembled. The sea quaked to its very depths. The clouds poured down rain. The thunder rumbled in the sky. Your arrows of lightning flashed. Your thunder roared from the whirlwind. The lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your road led through the Red Sea, your pathway through the mighty waters, a pathway no one even knew was there. You led your people along the road like a flock of sheep, with Moses and Aaron as their shepherds. 2 Corinthians 8. Now I want you all to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor. But they are also filled with abundant joy, which is overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. They even did more than we had hoped, for their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do. So we have urged Titus, who encouraged your giving in the first place, to return to you and encourage you to finish this ministry of giving. Since you excel in so many ways, in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, and your love from us, I want you to excel also in this gracious act of giving. I'm not commanding you to do this, but I'm testing how genuine your love is by comparing it with the eagerness of the other churches. You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich. Here's my advice. It would be good for you to finish what you started a year ago. Last year you were the first who wanted to give, and you were the first to begin doing it. Now you should finish what you started. Let the eagerness you showed in the beginning be matched now by your giving. Give in proportion to what you have. Whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly. And give according to what you have, not what you don't have. Of course, I don't mean your giving should make life easy for others and hard for yourselves. I only mean that there should be some equality. Right now you have plenty and can help those who are in need. Later they will have plenty and can share with you when you are in need. In this way, things can be equal. As the scriptures say, those who gathered a lot had nothing left over, and those who gathered only a little had enough. But thank God he has given Titus the same enthusiasm for you that I have. Titus welcomed our request that he visit you again. In fact, he himself was very eager to go and see you. We are also sending another brother with Titus. All the churches praise him as a preacher of the good news. He was appointed by the churches to accompany us as we take the offering to Jerusalem, a service that glorifies the Lord and shows our eagerness to help. We are traveling together to guard against any criticism for the way we are handling this generous gift. We are careful to be honorable before the Lord, but we also want everyone else to see that we are honorable. We are also sending with them another of our brothers who has proven himself many times and has shown on many occasions how eager he is. He is now even more enthusiastic because of his great confidence in you. If anyone asks about Titus, say that he is my partner who works with me to help you. And the brothers with him have been sent by the churches, and they bring honor to Christ. So show them your love, and prove to all the churches that our boasting about you is justified. And now may our Lord, our generous Lord, who gave everything for us, may he now give his blessing upon the reading and hearing of his word. Amen. You are rich. Did you know it? Paul says that those riches were achieved because someone else became poor, and that someone is Christ. Christ became poor so that by his poverty, he could make you rich. Jesus took our poverty upon himself in order to bestow on us his riches of sonship. That makes you wealthy. That makes you blessed. That makes you his. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because you are united with Christ. These are heavenly riches, but these spiritual riches work their way into our physical lives. They free us up to live generous lives here, right now. And to the extent that we truly understand this, will result in generous-hearted living. Paul wants us to follow through with the generosity that was born in our hearts. He doesn't want us to stall out. He wants us to finish whatever it is that God inspired you to do. Maybe it's offering a meal to someone who's sick, spending time with someone who really needs it, giving financially to someone in need, helping to advance the cause of the gospel, as was the case of this particular passage. Whatever it is, don't stall out. Finish what God has inspired you to do. Live out your generous life because you are rich. And your spiritual wealth comes from him. May this inspire you to live out the riches that are yours in Christ. Don't stall out on those things that God inspires you to do, but rather live them out in the joy and the strength and in the presence of Christ who dwells in you. That's the prayer that I have for my own soul. And that's the prayer that I have for my family, for my wife, my daughters, my son. And that's a prayer that I have for you. May it be so. Let's continue now in a time of prayer. Feel free to read along with these prayers in the show notes of today's podcast and meditate on these words that are being spoken over you, your family, and our world. And now, let us pray. Lord God, Almighty and Everlasting Father, you have brought us in safety to this new day. Preserve us with your mighty power, that we might not fall into sin or be overcome by adversity. And in all we do, direct us to the fulfilling of your purpose, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, you have made of one blood all the peoples of the earth, and sent your blessed Son to preach peace to those who are far and those who are near. Grant that people everywhere may seek after you and find you. Bring the nations into your fold, pour out your Spirit on all flesh, and hasten the coming of your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Lord, grant that I might not seek so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in the giving that we receive, in the pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in the dying that we are born unto eternal life. Amen. And now, as our Lord has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you for joining me today in this time through the scriptures and in prayer. It is a privilege indeed to be able to spend these minutes with you every day. It is an investment into our souls. We're doing some soul work here. And that, my friend, is so needed. Hey, speaking of things that are needed, it is so needed. Well, not necessarily needed, but it is a huge help to this ministry if you like, share, and subscribe to this podcast wherever it is that you get yours. Your decision to follow or subscribe to this podcast makes a huge difference for others trying to find this kind of content, this kind of community, this kind of experience. So would you do your brother Hunter a big favor here and follow and subscribe wherever it is that you get your podcast? And last of all, I want to say thank you to some of our partners. These are folks that have come alongside Heather and myself to make sure that these podcasts happen every day. Because of folks like Maggie Beckford, Dan Russell, Paulette Walter, Naira Santana Boucher, David Gray, William Hunter, Stephen Lilly, Matthew Newell, and Bernadette Rufin. Blessings to you, my sisters, my brothers, my co-laborers in this work of the Lord. And if you're listening today and you would like to join the team and partner with us, man, that is so appreciated. All you have to do is head over to the webpage, dailyradiobible.com, click on the donate link, and that'll get you started. You can also find that very same link right in the show notes of today's podcast. And if you're old school and you prefer to do things through the U.S. Post, you got yourself an envelope and a stamp that's ready to do its work, well, you can send it to Daily Radio Bible 2748 Northeast Molini Way, Hillsboro, Oregon 97124. And if I said that too fast, you can find that address on our webpage, dailyradiobible.com. Well, hey, we've done it. I plan on doing it again tomorrow. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, your brother Hunter plans on being here. Until that time, let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let His joy be our strength. And let us always remember this, that you are loved. Let that sink down into the marrow of your bones, my friend. Alrighty. I'll talk to you again tomorrow. You guys take care.